It is finished. That first Good Friday is the darkest day in all of human history. The Son of God, the perfect Son of God, was tortured and killed by sinful humanity. The only light of the world, the only one, was snuffed out. But by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we can see today, this holy day, this Good Friday, that all of human history was choreographed by divine love. It was leading up the mountain to Golgotha to this day. The man of sorrows, Jesus Christ, is worthy of worship. It's worthy of your worship. One pastor described Jesus like this. He's a man of majesty and meekness, reverence for God and equality with God, obedience and dominion, lordship and servanthood, transcendence and intimacy, justice and mercy, at home in the robes of a king and in the towel of a servant. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he suffered and died for sinners. He suffered and died for you. He suffered and died for me. The title of this message is, It is Finished. This is good news for us today on this Good Friday. So we'll go through three main points, hopefully quickly. I think when Jesus said, It is finished, he means at least three things. First, it's as if he's saying, I obeyed for you. It is finished. Second, it's as if he's saying, I suffered for you. It is finished. And lastly, he is saying, I love you. It is finished. Children, we have several children here today, and we love having you. This is what I'm trying to say today. In a word, well, in a phrase, Jesus showed perfect love at the cross so you can love him back. That's what we're going to talk about today. He showed us perfect love at the cross so we can love him back. Okay, let's move forward. It is finished. It's as if Jesus said, I obeyed for you. Let's consider this. So to understand Good Friday, what happened on this day, you must understand that the living God is a holy God. Holiness is one of those church and Christian terms that sometimes we don't think we know what they mean. I confess, even pastors have to look it up and remind ourselves. We can forget. But you actually do know what the holiness of God is. Even children, my children. This past week, we went for our spring break to Ruby Falls in Chattanooga. Has anyone been there to Ruby Falls? It's amazing. It's several thousand feet in the heart of Lookout Mountain. There's this underground waterfall. As we walked in, they turned the lights off in this the ceiling, much higher than this, 100 feet plus, and large cavern, bigger than this room. And it's pitch black darkness, but you hear the water pounding. Can you imagine the first people who discovered that cavern about 100 years ago? They just have their lanterns. They can't really see. They hear the water. They finally get their lanterns up. And while we were there this past week, they turned the lights on. Wow. The awe you experience when you see a sunset, when you go to the Grand Canyon, when you go to Ruby Falls, you are standing in awe of someone who is much greater than you, the creator of all these things, and so much more. You are getting a glimpse, just a taste of the holiness of God. He is wholly above us in every respect as the creator. He is perfect in power, purity, wisdom, and goodness. So to understand Good Friday, you must first understand the holiness of God. We can understand it through this creation, God's creation. But we can also understand the holiness of God by looking at Jesus, the perfect man. Jesus, the friend of sinners. Jesus, the one who showed us that holiness, a holy life, actually is beautiful, attractive, kind, and gentle. Jesus, who was touching lepers and taking children into his arms. Jesus, whose hands would heal the sick. Jesus, who would eat with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes. Jesus, who wanted to extend justice to the poor. Jesus, who would speak truth to the proud. Jesus, who loved his Father with his whole heart, every moment, every second of every day. So when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," it's as if he's saying, "I have perfectly obeyed for you. My holiness, my perfect holiness is on behalf of you. I have completed it. I have completed the work my Father has given me to do." So, dear ones, today, if Jesus has perfectly obeyed for us, do not trust in your own obedience. Do not think that you can be good enough to pull yourself up into the presence of a perfectly holy God. Coming to church, coming to 100 services on Holy Week would do you no good if you're trusting in those things. If you think that that is going to get you a verdict of not guilty or righteous before God. It cannot. Do not trust your good deeds to outweigh your bad deeds before God. Do not live for the approval of anyone on this earth or live to impress God with your goodness or your good deeds, because you cannot. He will not be impressed. He is wholly different than we are. So what should we do? We should worship this Jesus who obeyed for us. He obeyed in our place. He obeyed where we wouldn't. Our hearts didn't want to. He obeyed where we couldn't. We could not obey God's perfect law. His perfect obedience has given him perfect righteousness, the very righteousness of God, the moral goodness and standing of God. And Jesus offers it to us for free, to anyone who comes to him. So when Jesus said it is finished, I believe he first was saying, at least was saying, "I perfectly obeyed for you." Next, when Jesus said "it is finished," I think he was also in part saying, "I suffered for you." A price had to be paid for sin. Perfect love requires perfect justice in the face of evil. We are evil, dear ones. Let's not let the pride of our day and the pride of our hearts make us think that we are not evil before God. Maybe compared to you and me, maybe you're better than me, but how are you compared to a perfectly holy God? So perfect love requires justice in the face of evil. And what Jesus took as he says, "I thirst," there on the cross, he's given the sour wine. I believe it was a symbol of him taking the cup of the wrath of God. The Bible talks about the wrath of God as a cup. There's a cup of wrath, and that sinners would drink it till it was dry. In Ezekiel 23, it's described as a cup of horror and desolation. In Habakkuk chapter 3, it's described as utter shame. In Revelation chapter 16, it's described as a cup of fury. It's the wrath of God against sin. And in Revelation chapter 14, it says that everyone who drinks of the cup of the wrath of God is tormented with fire and sulfur forever and ever. This is what we deserve. This is what our best deeds in and of ourselves deserve before a holy God, the cup of wrath. We cannot pull ourselves up. We cannot impress God with our obedience, our religious observance, anything. This is what we deserve, this cup of wrath, because of our lust, because of our lies, because of my anger, because of my idolatrous heart, because of our pride. We deserve this cup. And Jesus took the cup out of our hands. And when he said, "It is finished," he's saying, "I suffered for you. I took that cup, cup that would crush you, and I drank it. And it crushed me." Jesus drank the cup completely dry. He knew, it said in the scriptures, that all was accomplished, all was fulfilled, and he said, it is finished. So if you trust him, if you trust in Jesus, you will never know the contents of that cup. You will never, ever, 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 for all eternity, forever and ever, never taste a drop of the wrath of God, because Jesus drank it all for you. In Isaiah 53, Jesus took this so you wouldn't. Your appearance will never be marred beyond human semblance. Jesus was. You will never be despised and rejected by God because Jesus was. If you trust in Christ, you will never be stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God if you trust in Jesus because Jesus was for you. You won't be pierced. You won't be crushed. You won't be wounded. You won't be led to the slaughter like Jesus was. You will not have anguish in your soul from the wrath of God Almighty for all the sins of all the world, of all time. It will not pour onto you because Jesus took it himself. So when Jesus was pinned to the tree, he had nowhere to go. He willingly was there. He was absorbing the wrath of God so that you and I can know the fatherly embrace of God. When Jesus said, it is finished, I believe he was saying, I've suffered for you. I've paid it in full. And so, brothers and sisters, we should sing songs to Jesus today. We should sing songs to Jesus every day. Every day should be Good Friday. We should remember the cross every single day and praise God that we'll never know the contents of that cup. And finally, when Jesus said it is finished, I believe he was saying, I love you. I believe he was saying, I loved you. The cross of Christ is the ultimate display of the love of God and the love of Christ, who is the Son of God. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners in the slum, caught right in the act, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father didn't spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, Romans 8:32. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John 13:1. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is the one who strengthens us to comprehend the love of Christ. I pray the Holy Spirit would strengthen us now to comprehend the love of Christ. Ephesians 3 said, the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. We will never be able to achieve the full understanding of the love of Christ after endless ages of seeing him face to face. On the new heavens and new earth, we will still be growing in knowledge and worship. The love of Christ. The Bible says the love of Christ is described as the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. So you may think of the height of the love of Christ, that he lived in for eternal ages in perfect bliss and glory with the God the Father and God the Spirit. But he came down from that height into the depths of this earth, this wicked earth. Even though he created us, we crucified him. Even though he loves us, we rejected his love. So he came down from the heights all the way down to the depths to take God's wrath for us. The length of the love of Christ, his arms outstretched to embrace each one of you, to embrace me. It's too good to be true. The breadth of the love of Christ, so that every nation, tribe, and tongue, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be in his family, will be loved, would be beloved and married to him. The bride price of our union to Christ, his own life, his own death, his own blood. So, dear ones, entire world, love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love him back. He loved you first. It says he loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us before we did anything good or bad. When we started doing bad, he still loved us. He loved you first. He loved you perfectly. He loves you forever. So love him back. Return his love. The proof of his steadfast love is in this reality. It is finished. He loves us. So let us continue to worship Jesus Christ. When we worship Jesus, we don't just worship the one who's on a cross, because he's not there anymore. He's alive. It's what we celebrate on Easter. He's alive. He's here with us today. So he is the only one worthy of worship. After Jesus completed his work of the new creation, he rested on the Sabbath Saturday, that first Saturday after Good Friday. Jesus is the second Adam, who the first Adam failed in the garden, but Jesus perfectly obeyed his Father in this garden. Jesus is the seed of the woman, who's the one who would crush the devil's head, and he did at the cross, and he crushed all evil. When he returns, he will crush it fully and finally. Jesus is the Passover lamb. His blood covers the hearts of everyone who trusts in him, so that you will not be punished for your sins. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Here is the simple truth. Children, are you listening? Children of all ages, my own heart. Here's the simple truth that gives eternal life. You are guilty before God. Jesus, in love, took your guilt. He was crucified and rose again. When he said it is finished, he's saying, all you have to do is come. You need nothing except your need and bring it to me. And I'll receive you. I will forgive you. So come and worship Jesus today. Whether you've been following him for a long time, or if today is the first day that you come to him, come and worship this Jesus who showed you love, who obeyed for you, who suffered for you. Give him your soul. Give him your life. Give him your all. So this phrase, it is finished, it is a triumphal cry. It is a victory cry. And I believe this is so because I think it may be a rephrasing of the end of Psalm 22. If you're familiar with Psalm 22, it was a psalm of David. And he cried out at the beginning, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so usually when people think of a psalm, you're remembering the whole psalm in its totality. Perhaps when Jesus said it is finished, he was thinking of the last phrase in this psalm. And it is certainly a triumphal ending to this psalm, which starts so dark. So I'm going to read for us to close the ending of Psalm 22. And if you just want to praise the Lord in your heart silently, do it. If you want to praise the Lord out loud, you're welcome to. This is what Jesus has done for us. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you, because kingship belongs to the Lord. And he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. He has done it. He has done it. It is finished.